If you would turn now to Ezekiel chapter 36. Reading once more verses 22 through 38 on page 724. Ezekiel chapter 36, verses 22 through 38. This is the word of the Lord. Therefore say to the house of Israel, thus says the Lord God, it is not for your sake, O house of Israel, that I am about to act, but for the sake of my holy name, which you have profaned among the nations to which you came. And I will vindicate the holiness of my great name, which has been profaned among the nations, and which you have profaned among them. And the nations will know that I am the Lord, declares the Lord God, when through you I vindicate my holiness before their eyes. I will take you from the nations and gather you from all the countries and bring you into your own land. I will sprinkle clean water on you, and you shall be clean from all your uncleannesses, and from all your idols I will cleanse you. And I will give you a new heart, and a new spirit I will put within you. And I will remove the heart of stone from your flesh and give you a heart of flesh. And I will put my spirit within you and cause you to walk in my statutes and be careful to obey my rules. You shall dwell in the land that I gave to your fathers, and you shall be my people, and I will be your God. And I will deliver you from all your uncleannesses. And I will summon the grain and make it abundant and lay no famine upon you. I will make the fruit of the tree and the increase of the field abundant, that you may never again suffer the disgrace of famine among the nations. Then you will remember your evil ways and your deeds that were not good, and you will loathe yourselves for your iniquities and your abominations. It is not for your sake that I will act, declares the Lord God. Let that be known to you. Be ashamed and confounded for your ways, O house of Israel. Thus says the Lord God, on the day that I cleanse you from all your iniquities, I will cause the cities to be inhabited, and the waste places shall be rebuilt. And the land that was desolate shall be tilled, instead of being the desolation that it was in the sight of all who passed by. And they will say, this land that was desolate has become like the Garden of Eden. And the waste and desolate and ruined cities are now fortified and inhabited. Then the nations that are left all around you shall know that I am the Lord. I have rebuilt the ruined places and replanted that which was desolate. I am the Lord. I have spoken, and I will do it. Thus says the Lord God, this also I will let the house of Israel ask me to do for them, to increase their people like a flock for sacrifices, like the flock at Jerusalem during her appointed feasts. So shall the waste cities be filled with flocks of people. Then they will know that I am the Lord. This is the word of the Lord. Let us pray. Our Lord and our God, To whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life. Let us meet here, your Son, that we may lay hold of him, that we may become one with him. We ask in his name. Amen. What are we to think of the people of God? Are they a people righteous? Are they a people great? In Ezekiel chapter 36, we are invited to see them as they are, a people full of sin, a people in need of grace. As we hear of the salvation of the Lord in Ezekiel chapter 36, what is the contribution of his people? We find their only contribution to have been the profaning of his name. Here then we find not the greatness of his people, but the greatness of his grace. And we find that they are saved not because of their righteousness, but that by his grace they may become righteous. In love, the Lord has bound his name to his people. And in so doing, he has bound himself to their salvation. And binding his name to his people, God has bound his glory to our good. This is why in Ezekiel chapter 36, the vindication of his holiness is not found in the wrath against his people, but in their salvation, in their becoming holy as he is holy. The Lord vindicates the holiness of his name in the salvation of his own. Here we may take heart. As surely as his name will be glorified, so his people will be saved. For there is nothing greater than his glory, and there is nothing more sure. What grace then is this, that God would bind his glory to his people? Is there greater comfort than this? He saves you not because of your goodness, nor because of your greatness, but because of his holiness, because of his glory. Truly, there is no one like him. What then are we to think of the church? We are to think of the church in this way, not as a club for the perfect, but as a hospital for sinners. In Ezekiel chapter 36, the Lord promises to deliver his people from sin and death, to sprinkle them with water and cleanse them of their unrighteousness, to give them a new heart and fill them with his Spirit, to bring them into his kingdom and cause them to walk in his ways, to bless them with his presence and receive them at his table as an offering upon his altar. In Ezekiel chapter 36, we behold the life of the new covenant, not only as it will be in glory, but even as it is now on earth. For this life has come through the resurrection of Christ from the dead and the pouring out of his Spirit upon the church. The life of Ezekiel chapter 36 is the life of the new covenant and the life of the church. It is a life that may be summarized by the sacraments of the church. A life that begins with baptism and ends with the supper. For in baptism, as in Ezekiel chapter 36, we are washed. We are cleansed with the living water of the Spirit that flows from the heart of Christ. In baptism, the heart of Christ becomes our heart, and the Spirit of Christ becomes our spirit. And thus we begin to repent of sin and to learn righteousness. And at the supper, as in Ezekiel chapter 36, we are brought into his house. We are seated at his table. We enter into his presence and we feast upon his joy. But if this is true, we hear then in Ezekiel chapter 36, not only the promise of what we will be, but also a call to what we ought to be. For if the church is a hospital for sinners, then it is a place not only of sickness, but also of healing. And so we may say that the church is also a school for righteousness, a place where we are healed from the way of one life, and the place where we learn the way of another. And let us consider more closely the image that is given to us in Ezekiel chapter 36. We find this healing and instruction in a garden. In Ezekiel chapter 36, the church is compared to a garden. And not just to any garden, but to the Garden of Eden. The church is likened to the Garden of Eden, God's first sanctuary upon the earth. And if the Garden of Eden was his first sanctuary upon the earth, then the church is his last. It is a place without famine, where the ground yields its increase and the trees yield their fruit. It is a place of abundant goodness. It is a place of shelter and peace. For in this garden we find healing, as we are ministered to by Christ himself, the second and the last Adam. And from him and in him we learn the life of heaven. If this is what the church is, then it is also what the church must be. The Lord has brought us into his garden that we may find repentance. The Lord has brought us into his garden that we may learn obedience. The Lord has brought us into his garden that we may become like him in every way. The Lord has brought us into his garden that we may yield the fruit of righteousness. The Lord has brought us into his garden that we may share his holiness. The Lord has brought us into his garden that we may enter his joy. But is that what we find? Do we find here repentance? Or do we instead presume upon his kindness and satisfy ourselves with grace that is cheap. Have we learned obedience? Or do we despise correction? Have we become like him? Or do we envy the way of the world and resent not getting our own way? Have we yielded the fruit of righteousness? Or do we devote ourselves more to pleasure than to good works? Have we begun to share his holiness? Or do we instead strive after happiness? Do we enter his joy? Or do we find it a burden to gather for his worship? How easy it is to turn this garden into a waste, and to once again profane the holiness of his name. The church is to resemble the Garden of Eden. The church is to resemble the garden of God, for that is what she is. A garden of goodness. A garden of delights. We should find here love, not strife. Joy, not anger. Peace, not division. Patience, not envy. Kindness, not hostility. Faithfulness, not impurity. Gentleness, not harshness. Self-control, not drunkenness. We should see the fruit of this garden in our lives. We should see the fruit of this garden in our marriages. As husbands learn to love their wives by not insisting on their own way. And as wives learn to honor their husbands by speaking to them with respect. We should see the fruit of this garden in our homes. As fathers and mothers learn to minister to their children the patience and gentleness of Christ. Do we discipline them with words of grace? do we only shout at them when we are inconvenienced? And do we keep silent when we ought to repent? We should see the fruit of this garden in our work as we take every thought captive to the obedience of Christ, seeking in all things to please Him and not ourselves. Have we learned His humility? Do we still think highly of ourselves? Have we learned His lowliness? Or do we still prefer to rule than to serve? Have we learned His generosity? Or do we still love money? Have we learned His mercy? Or do we still cling to bitterness? Have we learned His righteousness? Or do we still seek our own way? The church is the garden of God. We should then find here its fruit. The fruit of the Spirit growing upon the vine of Christ. As we examine our hearts and consider our lives, as we reflect upon our thoughts and our words and our works, what else must we confess that we have profaned His garden and the holiness of His name? And so we might despair. And wonder whether this promise is true, or whether it is true for us. But we need not despair, for this garden is a garden of grace, and in it we may find repentance. For the Lord of this garden is pleased to forgive us. And however we have profaned His name, to vindicate His holiness through us. Not by destroying us, but by completing the good work which He began in us. You are His garden, and He is your keeper. This is the garden of God. is kept by Christ and watered by the Spirit. Not for your righteousness, not for your greatness, but for His glory and for the holiness of His name. Let us then strive for His holiness, that this church, which is the garden of God, may yield its fruit. And when we fall short, let us humble ourselves in repentance and be satisfied with His grace. Let us learn from that grace to be gracious. Let us learn from His mercy to show mercy. Let us learn from His love to love. In His presence, there is fullness of joy. At His right hand are pleasures forevermore. Soon it will be said, this place that was desolate has become like the Garden of Eden. God be praised. Amen.